Look, you know, I've thought about this a lot as you listen to what other people say. Obviously, we were in a unique position with the caution still out and the way that things all shook out. And, you know, they can look at it 100 different ways, but you can't just roll over and be done with it and say, well, we tried our best, because you didn't. I quit once in my life, and I'll never quit again. But, you know, from their perspective, I can understand their frustration of not being in the chase or whatever the circumstances may be. So I'm not going to throw stones, because, you know, I don't believe that's probably the right thing to do. And you know, look, I didn't cause the first wreck, and I definitely don't, you know, believe that I caused the second wreck either. So it's just one of those situations where I did the best I could on the restarts to get going, and I got out of the way, and I never even really saw the six car until he was by me and doing what he was doing. So it's, it's just one of those situations where you can't stop. You have to continue to try to let it play out, and it really did play out. You know, those guys wrecked the first time, and, you know, obviously the situation with the restart was what it was. So, and we moved on.
I mean, you caused the. I mean, when you say you didn't cause the wreck, you did cause it. I mean, I'm not saying whether you did intentionally or unintentionally, but I mean, it certainly appeared that you were the one.
I would definitely, you know, I restarted the race and hit the gas, and as I was going up and Trevor was coming down, and that was definitely the beginning point of what happened. But, you know, I was trying to just get going. That was really my biggest thing, was if I could get going, I might be involved in a situation where something else happened like it did on the first one. So in our second attempt of one attempt, we had more happen. No, I don't need to defend myself. You know, here's the deal. You know, if those guys were in the same situation and their car would still function, it's like a football player. If his knee's blown out and he's playing in the Super Bowl, he's going to try to play as long as he can. And, you know, we maintained the speed on the caution. You know, if all the circumstances would have been different, it might have had a different outcome. So, you know, it's... those guys have been throwing stones all year. So you just go on with it.
Your in-car seemed to be looking in the rearview mirror a lot. Was it your intent to just kind of hold the line up?
My intent was hoping that somebody would actually push me to get going and just try to, you know, go and hope that something happened like it did on the first of the attempts. I have no idea. I don't even. I mean,
you didn't talk to anybody.
No, I didn't talk to anybody.
Were you concerned at all?
I've been at the doctor.
Were you concerned that NASCAR might?
I just control the things that I can control, and that's what I told you exactly the same thing I just told you today after the race. And I try to control the things that I've controlled. Look, I've been at this for a long time. You know, there's going to be good situations, bad in the middle, and you navigate through them with, you know, whatever you think is your best routine. So. I've been to the doctor. I've been to the carpool line. I've been to lunch with my wife and done all the normal things that I do on a normal week.
Kevin, you mentioned the restart of the restart. Is that like going to be the new norm now? I mean, no one's ever a wreck caused a restart. That happens all the time. So are they now going to label off restarts and just keep the wreck?
I don't know that I've never been in that position. Where the restart got waved off, except for maybe an all-star race. Even then, you know, the caution wasn't thrown until you're kind of halfway around the track and everything is sorted out. So maybe I didn't understand that part of the rule, that if the caution came out that fast, that didn't count. I'd have to read the rule book in that section a little bit further. Maybe you guys can help me with...
It's not in there.
Okay.
It's not clarified.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. I didn't want to speculate on something that I didn't. There's a lot of sections of the rule book that have some pretty fine detail on how things work and how you have to sort through them. So I just wanted to make sure. But
on that first non-attempt, you pulled high and appeared to pull completely out of line, whereas in the second, the real attempt, you stayed in line. What was the rationale there?
Yeah, I mean, they were wrecking when I pulled up at some point during all that. So, you know, you try to get going as best you can. And you know, the second one, you know, you try to do the same thing and get going as best that you can.
Going back to the restart, the first restart, do you agree with the rules and the way they
called it? I'm like, I didn't really know. I didn't really pay attention to it. They told me that the explanation on the radio of the caution came out before. I guess we got back to the start-finish line, correct? So I didn't know to complain about anything because I didn't know that there might be something more to that rule that I hadn't seen before. So
you said that you're never going to quit again because you quit once in your life. What was that
thing? My senior year in wrestling, I had a great, you know, what I thought was a great junior year in wrestling. So that would have been 94. 93, I went to the Valley Championship and got beat in the first round. And the second year, I went to the divisionals and should have won the divisionals pretty easy. But it was, if I went to the Valley that year, it would have been the opening weekend of race season. And in hindsight, probably should have just finished out what I had started. And I don't know, felt like you let a lot of people down at that particular point. And looking back at it now, you look back at it as a kid, you don't really care, and now you look back at it as like, man, that's probably not the right thing to do, and not only let my team down, let myself down a little bit on probably what I was due, you know, with success as I went forward, you know, through the end of that year. So it was just a bad decision.
Did that end your, was that, did it not going end your career?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
So you don't know what would have happened.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so you just, if you don't play things all the way through, you never know how they're going to play out. And, you know, that was just one of those situations. That was a good life lesson. And I think that's probably been a little bit of my DNA as we've gone through the years. And you know, you really push things to try to let them play out and finish things. And you know, Stewart's the same way. And, you know, last year we went to Homestead. That'll be a piece of advice that sticks with me for a long time. He's like, whether you're winning or losing, you can't ever let your guard down. You have to give it 100% the whole time because you just never know how the circumstances are going to play out. And you know, we were behind last year, and you're like, man, I'm behind. You know, 13th, 14th, whatever it was, with 12 laps to go or whatever the case may be. And you're like, wow, that might have not been a right decision. But at that point, you got to mentally clear your mind, stop, refocus on what you're doing and try to make the most out of the situation. And obviously it worked out last year. So, you know, those are two pretty good life lessons that you just really have to let things play out and finish them.
Kevin, were you ever concerned with the condition of your car that you might not even be able to make it around? I mean, you basically had to do like another 1.5 laps, both of the restarts.
Yeah. The biggest concern was when I thought it was the ECU. I thought we had a broken tailpipe, and when I turned the ECU off, it didn't fire back up immediately, you know, to fire it back up. So I don't know how the valve and everything, you know, got situated in the head to keep running, but it's not very often that they do that. I've only had that happen once, one other time, and it was in a late model car several years ago now. The engine was blown up. Not blown up, obviously. It was injured.
You've been so strong in Phoenix. That's the third race in the same. Why are you so good at Phoenix? What is it about that track?
Look, right now we're focused on trying to get through Martinsville. We've had a really sloppy 6 weeks, and we're very fortunate to be sitting here today. Our cars have had plenty of speed, but, you know, we had the engine problem this week, the transmission problem the week before, pit penalty before that. Charlotte was okay, Dover was okay, and then just, you know, a couple mistakes and things happening in the first couple of weeks. So this is a one week at a time battle. You know, obviously if we can get to Phoenix in a better position than we've been in the first 2 weeks, first 6 weeks have been pretty sloppy though.
Joey wins three in a row. Is he a clear cut favorite? We're back to square one. Somebody's ball game now.
I think it's all back to you know, all back to zero. You know, I feel like we've been as sloppy as we've been in 2 years since I've been involved in this race team, and we're still hanging around. So, you know, I feel like our pit crew is on point, and that's really been the we've had speed in the cars Those have been the only two things that have been 100% physically. I haven't been 100%. We've had some parts failures and things go wrong with those pieces of it not being 100%. So it's been my focus this week to try to get myself where I need to be for the next 3 weeks. A lot of climate change and time change and a lot of things that you have to deal with physically. So I need to make sure that when I get to Friday, I'm where I need to be from my standpoint. Well, I was fortunate to have the 10 there to help. She kept me in the pack, and we were able to get ourselves situated in the middle of the pack. If I had got to the back of the pack, I wouldn't have been able to keep up with the pack. So we got ourselves situated in the middle of the pack, and were able to make ground and maintain what we needed to. So there was a lot of scenarios that happened. I mean, obviously the 11 had. Had his car fall apart and his situation. What I don't even know. I guess the roof hatch. I got you. So there was a lot of things that played out that I didn't really pay attention to during the race because my main focus was to just not make a mistake on pit road and stay up front. Mm-hmm. And we did all that all day. And then all of a sudden you have something else to deal with, and it's like abort, abort, abort. And you got to try to get yourself in the middle of the pack because you're not going to be able to keep up with the pack if I get shuffled all the way to the back. So, I tried to get myself in line and do the best I could there. And that was the way that everything played out with the cautions kind of, fortunate. We were very fortunate that it played out with those cautions, because if there was no cautions, who knows how it would have turned out.
Do you have to sort of steel yourself from reaction to it, as we move into the next round? You've been used to that over the years, starting from early on, but do you just sort of have to lock any conversation about this race out and move ahead?
I don't even pay attention to it. I tell you guys that a lot. I just laugh. You just smile and move on, just for the fact that, you just – There's so much happening and so many moving parts. And if you sit and think about things too long while you're at home, you'll get hit in the head with a football. So.
You've talked in this about how this chase increases the intensity. And we saw what Newman kind of had to do at Phoenix last year. People the week before Talladega said, well, Joey did what he had to do to keep Kenseth out. Those who believe that you did it purpose, but some say, well, you did what you had to do to stay in the thing. Has the line of maybe code or what drivers will do change a little bit with this format, or does it make you guys more?
Well, I think if you're at race 13 and you're in a situation like that, you probably pull in the pits. If you're in race cutoff race at Talladega, you have to play the restart out. I mean, you have to try. If it falls on its face and you crash or whatever the case may be, but you still have that little glimmer of hope, and that's your season. That's it. If you're done there, it's not. I mean, you still go race. That's what all my friends don't understand, is you still go race. Playoffs are over and you lost in the playoffs, but you're still racing. I don't understand. You're the loser. How do you get to keep going? You just have to hope. And I mean, look at the the football game a couple weeks ago. Who would have thought that the guy drops the ball and the guy picks it up and runs back for a touchdown and Michigan State wins the game. So I mean, it's just sports. But it's a more cutthroat system for sure. Just for the fact that it's three. You got to survive to stay in.
I almost asked this, if it was anybody else, do you think NASCAR should have blacked? Some people say NASCAR should have just black flagged you and said you got to come in the pits. You were slow to get started.
I didn't have an oil leak. I didn't have an oil leak. My car was still maintaining speed. It's like I got a dagger in my side, but I can still walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that Bob's fine. That one's from Denny.
Just heard from Denny?
Look, Denny's a very emotional person. I would consider Denny a fair acquaintance. I don't consider too many of them my friends, because we get in situations like this, and You know, so I think as you look at that, he's a very opinionated person. He's gonna stand behind what he believes in, and that's fair. You know, I don't think anybody can knock him for that. And I'm not gonna sit here and throw stones because I've been mad at situations that, you know, I was mad at a situation with them last week. So.
But why not in that situation, if you feel like you didn't do anything wrong, why not, you know, reach out or stand up and chat and say?
Well, because guys, so most of the time there's no conversation with those types of situations, and then I get mad. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it just creates more conflict, and it's. Sometimes there's nobody there.
Just to clarify, Kevin, when you hit Bane, you just said there about Danica helped you before. Were you moving up thinking that, like, if I move out of the way,
I just tried to get going. I was just trying to get going and thinking and trying to keep somebody behind me to help me get going. And as I moved up, before I even knew, he was gone. He was beside me. It's like I told you on the weekend, I didn't even really know he was out there until he was already by me. So it all happens pretty fast. I was hoping the 6 would push me. He was the car that started behind me. So. I lost my voice after I talked for 2 hours last week during the truck race. But that was fun. What do you guys want to talk about now?
Is there
Bob, can you hand me my coffee?
Yes.
Thanks, Bob.
Is there any solution to the green-white checkered thing? I mean, you know, regardless of how it happened, a lot of...
Here's the best thing I've heard this week. I listened to Kenny Wallace on the radio. You guys ever listen to it?
I listened to last night.
He's great. You know why? Because he actually, I mean, not that you guys don't, but I thought when I came here 3 weeks ago, he did a phenomenal job on Sirius in the interview that we were in. And I walked through the kitchen and Delana was listening to Kenny Wallace on Sirius, so I stopped and listened. We might have a problem just for the fact that there's so many people with opinions, and you go back, and I've been on the other side of Big Bill's, Bill Jr.'s decisions. I'm not that old. I may sound like it today, but I'm not that old. And maybe there are too many opinions. You have the fan council, you have the drivers, you have the owners, and I don't know. You know, as drivers, you think that that's probably the right thing to do because of what happened at Daytona. NASCAR's in a tough spot to try to make everybody happy. Is that right or wrong? I don't know. Everybody trying to make the sport better, but how many opinions are too many opinions? I don't know. I don't know what's right. I mean, did it need to be single file? Did it need to be double file? We got the double files because of the, you know, NASCAR and the fans and people wanting double file restarts. We got in 2009, I think it was 2009 or 2010 when the green white checkers were added. Was at the shootout when I beat Greg Biffle, because everybody was up in arms because the race ended under caution. So we went to 3, right? Isn't that how it went? So that week, speed weeks, we changed the rule. Now we're back to where we were at that particular point, and you know. So it's a tough spot to be in. You have to balance safety, and you have to balance opinions, and you have to balance all these things that come with it. But what's right, I don't know. I mean, the reason that we went to it is nobody wants to watch a race end under caution. So maybe that's not right. I don't know. I mean, from a driver's standpoint, we want it to be over with because of the pack and the way that things push and shove and just hammer down and shove the guy in front of you, and if you knock the guy in front of him out of the way, then we knock the guy in front of him out of the way, but it's just kind of become bumper cars. So from a safety aspect, I see it. From a fan's aspect, I see it. They don't want to see him. They don't want to see a yellow flag finish. But is that right? I don't know. You know, that's a great debate for you guys. You guys think about a lot more things and hear about a lot more things. And you know, if Dale Jr. wins under caution, was it okay then?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, is it not even a debate then? You know what I mean? I mean, that's just I'm not knocking on Dale Jr. or anybody. I'm just asking you. It's a fair question.
Initial start can be clean and the restarts in the middle of the race can be clean, but the green white checkers are always a disaster.
Because we're idiots.
Yeah.
Every one of us. And we're pushing and shoving, and you're pushing past the limits, and you're pushing past everything that you're supposed to do. You know it's wrong. Right? What happened on the first one?
Somebody hit Jimmy.
Yeah. So it's just a typical thing. If everything's not perfect, somebody's going to wreck. Because you know the harder you can push the guy in front of you, and you know the guy behind you is going to push you as hard as you can push, and it's like a snowplow coming through. And the further it gets forward, the more the energy just pushes it out the front.
Because it's the end of the race.
It's the end of the race. You know, look how important every point is. You have to, you know, in those situations, you have to be overly aggressive. You have to go over the edge.